This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
Hello there. When I'm not patrolling the coast of Maine or enjoying a nice bowl of chowder, I like to listen to the iFanboy.com comic book podcast. And this right here is episode 66, and it's sponsored by ComicHole.com.
Welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 66. My name is Connor. I'm here with Ron.
Hey, yeah.
And Josh.
Hiya there, pal.
And we are iFanboy.com, and we like comic books, and we read them, and every week one of us reads them and talks about the best one they liked, and they write about it on the website, and we talk about it on the podcast, and all the other books and everything in between.
And all that bullshit.
Yeah, all that stuff. So before we get... Thanks for validating everything we do every week.
No problem, anytime.
So before we get going, a quick reminder, this is going to be a review show, so we're going to talk about plot lines and things we
things from the books this week that may spoil things if you haven't read them. So if you haven't read your books yet, pause the show, come back later.
Can we make the obligatory Satan joke with episode 66, or do we have to wait for episode 666?
Yeah. I was trying to work it out, and I couldn't. I was like, it's like Satan, but missing a digit, but that's fucking like stupid.
Satan that's 10 years old, Satan. All right, anyway.
So without further ado, Josh is going to embark on his solo discussion.
I feel bad. If you are a podcast regular... If you've been around for a while, you might remember the debacle that was the last time that I picked Fables.
Well, you didn't pick Fables this time.
I know, but I picked Jack of Fables, which is a spinoff of Fables. Jack of Fables number 7. But the guys didn't like that I picked Fables last time. But since then, it needs to be cleared up. They both read the first trade and didn't really have anything bad to say about it, so...
Well, in the spirit of that, I bought Jack of Fables number 7.
No shit, really?
Yeah, I actually I've had a bad 2 weeks with my comic shopping, where I seem to keep forgetting books and having to go back and whatever. And I had forgotten Annihilation number 6, and so I went back to the store today to get it. And I walked by Jack of Fables and said, "Huh, let me grab it." So I grabbed it and I did my homework and I read it and I prepared. So I'm ready to talk about the book.
Wow, this is like when I bought the X-Men book.
Now, this might be a good thing, or it might be a bad thing. You could take your pick.
Basically, I will give you the skinny on the book is that Jack is a character from the book Fables, and he left the Fables book. He left the main book. Basically, a story happened, and they said he's never going to show up in this book again. And this is Jack of all fairy tales and fables and stuff. Jack and the Beanstalk, Jack...
That's the premise. This is the people of fables are in our real world, and that
right. Yeah. And this is like the Jack and the Beanstalk Jack, and all of like it seems because there's an inordinate amount of characters, which I always thought, by the way, is a brilliant premise that they just took this one guy.
I wouldn't say brilliant. I'd say clever.
I really liked it. Okay. And anyway, so there's a story in the main book where he takes off, and then. They start this spin-off book. Now, the thing about a spin-off book is so often they're not good. And normally, if it's done by the same guy who did the original book, I'm trying to think of how many bad X-Men spin-offs there have been over the years, or you know, like
or Batman spin-offs.
Batman.
Hey, I didn't say anything.
Don't just single out our corner of the world.
X-Men's the first one that I think of because there's been so many bad minis. You know, like
Spider-Man spin-offs. And
yeah, totally. Yeah.
Or no, I mean Martian Manhunter. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But either way, for the most part, a spin-off is not usually very good. On this book, however, you've got Bill Willingham, who's the writer creator of Fables, with a co-writer Matthew Sturgis. I'm not exactly sure how it goes. But the character is remarkably consistent with the character from the main Fables book. And the last storyline, the first like 6 issues, was they were captured by this guy. It was the collector or the librarian or something. And they all escaped. That's basically the whole thing. So this time he's out on the road. He's by himself. He finds out he has no more money. And he meets up with this other Fable who I don't know who the hell he is, quite honestly. But he's this dumpy-looking guy, and apparently he makes inanimate objects have little faces and personalities and things. So they decide to go to Vegas, where they're going to go get rich. And let's see. So they do that, and
Are you reading us the book?
No, I'm not reading you the book. I'm so tired. Oh, God, I can't. That's so lame.
Whose fault is that?
No, it's my fault. I have so much going on. My life is just jam-packed. Anyway, it isn't really so much the story of this book that is impressive to me.
It's not so much the issue. Rather, it's the idea of the issue.
This is starting to sound a lot like the last Fable show, which was an unmitigated disaster.
I'd like to point out that that was all a jest. Please exactly don't send that. Your angry letters.
Yes. I bought the damn book. It's okay.
But one of the things that is really interesting about this book to me is that Fables is told pretty objectively. If there's a narration, it's just like storybook narration. It doesn't really – the book has a tone, but it's an ensemble book sort of – whereas this book is all about Jack, and it is told from the point of view of Jack. And Jack, if you've ever read this stuff, he's remarkably egocentric and thinks he's the best thing in the world and he can do no wrong and does not fail. And it's told in sort of that way. In fact, it's almost reminiscent of the storytelling and narration. It reminded me a little of Robert Downey in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Just a little bit, like he's talking to the camera. And
does he have fantastic hair too?
Oh God! Well, he
not
does,
so much.
He
has a ponytail, right. Connor.
Oh, he's evil then.
And at one point, somebody grabs him by the ponytail, and he goes, "Mind the hair! Mind the hair!"
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a little self. The book is kind of wacky.
Yeah. And that's to be – like, and the art reflects that. It's a little cartoony. It's a little silly. But it kind of fits with the style for me, so it doesn't bother me. It doesn't feel like it's out of place. But at the beginning, you know, he says something about I'm going to finish telling you the story that I started telling you last issue, but I don't feel like it right now, so I'm not going to. You'll just have to wait for the trade, and maybe it'll be better then. Something along that lines, which I thought was kind of fun and self-referential and not in a typical way. You don't get that very often, whereas you do, like, in movies sometimes they refer to the fact that they're – like in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, for example, he's referring to the fact that he's in a movie, and it kind of has that feel, which is new to comics, I would say.
Ron, as a new reader to this book, how did you take this issue?
I'll admit, and I was glad to hear Josh say that there's one specific character who teams up with Jack, this kind of, weakling, kind of balding, not a strong character guy. Mm-hmm. And I know the premise, like, I know Jack, I've read the first Fables trade, I understand it, I've heard enough people talking about it, that's for sure. But then I didn't have an idea who this guy was, and I feel as if I was supposed to know who he was,
He was in the first arc.
Yeah, in the first of this book.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but you don't know who he's supposed to be still.
I can't. There's a lot of characters.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is that the problem with this premise and why I think I could see it being construed as brilliant, especially if you like it. But why I think it's clever, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I think it's clever in that it's clever. I mean, oh, he's all the Jack characters. Yeah, that's clever, and all the other stuff didn't Fables. That's clever. But when you start drilling down to characters in the stories where you don't, if you don't get the reference, then it kind of gets lost, you know. And so it's tough to jump right on without like some sort of, you know, checkmate like key.
Sure. But I'd say that's true of a lot of
– Oh, yeah. It's true. Work. Yeah, true of X-Men. No, absolutely.
And one of the things that is really important, and I've heard this echoed on the site, and I've experienced this, is that unfortunately, for whatever reason, Fables really doesn't become rewarding until you've read it for a little while. Like,
which I believe. I can believe that.
I think that the first arc, you're kind of like, this is clever, but it's not entirely engaging because it's a giant world and a lot of characters. Second arc, sort of the same. It gets to the third and the fourth trades where all of a sudden you get that thing where it hooks you and you're like, wow. And they've really built a lot of characters and things like that. And one of the things that Willingham is really, really good at is taking these old ideas of characters and putting a personality with them that's a believable human personality. In a way that's unique.
Yeah, he's modernly humanizing these mythic mm-hmm. characters, which makes sense. Yeah, I see that. But like at the end of this book, like, did you know who the woman was at the end of the book with the knife thingy?
I assume she's the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland, maybe.
Yeah, right. But
she has no hearts.
Right. Yeah. So that's why it's like I felt like I'm supposed to know this and I don't. And so then
sometimes, yeah. I felt like that a lot reading Fables originally, but eventually it kind of worked itself out.
I feel like this idea came out of like a college lit magazine. You know what I mean? I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's like, is it like a bunch of English majors are like, oh yeah, we'll do this, it'll be great. And like they think it's really hysterical and really cool. But then like, you know, me in the communication school who kind of, takes English classes, but I'm not an English dork, not that that's bad or anything, doesn't completely get all the references, which is completely me being in a glass house throwing stones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because then, we make movie and TV references and English majors look at us and eschew us for our media.
Right.
You know, so I'm not – don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that's the feeling I get from reading it. Again, not that it was bad. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know,
like, you're just qualifying everything.
He's afraid of the backlash.
Exactly.
I'm not even open my mouth.
But the important thing is I bought the issue. So I read it.
Did you recognize a craft in it?
No. what I picked up on was I felt as if this felt a lot like to me like X-Men Unlimited, where it's taking a character from the main book exactly like you said, and it's a spin-off book, and it's not as good as the original one. I mean, and Willingham co-wrote it, so you don't know how much he wrote and how much he didn't write. I thought the art was okay at times, but it was more inconsistent than good.
Really?
At some points I saw like the, you know what it felt to me like? It felt like to me like the classic art style fill-in guy. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we need you to draw in the Vertigo style, but this is for Fables, so make it a little cartoony at sometimes and fill in. Nobody will notice. You know what I mean? And like, and if that happens on X-Men, that happens on – I mean, that's happened through all the years. You know what I mean? Like when you – like the Mark Brooks guy, the Ultimate Spider-Man annual, you know? Like, it's Ultimate Spider-Man, so go with it. You know, and like, and he kind of does it, and it's familiar. And I understand why they do it, and I don't mean that to bash, you know – the penciler, who is Tony Akins, but and I mean, because it was good. It's just that at some points and maybe I'm just getting too old and too grumbly or whatever, but there were some panels where I was just like, ugh. But then there were other panels that looked great and were fine. You know what I mean? So that's why I felt it was inconsistent. But maybe it's supposed to be inconsistent, so, you know, because I don't understand this world. Mm-hmm. But and I thought that, and you know, and there was a bunch of, and you know, look at me, you know, in a kind of, you know, pot calling the kettle black. You know, like there's a whole bunch of pop culture references. Like there was a character who was supposed to be who was a lonely, pathetic kind of guy who's going to end up dying, and the guy who's going to kill him explains why he's going to die, that he's, you know, lives by himself in a one bedroom apartment in Scranton where he's a salesman for a small paper company.
I didn't catch that.
And it made me chuckle, but I was just like, all right, you know, like enough. And then there was a bunch of other little references to other things in pop culture, which I get, but if you're already referencing Fables and it's already so referential, do you have to go that extra? Like, it felt kind of trying too hard to me. But it was okay. I didn't hate it. So it just,
you know how in the beginning of the show people couldn't tell you two apart? I don't know what's happening, but I think you're Josh. I think Josh is you.
So, but I gave it a try. I mean, but I see what you mean about the Jack character, and I thought the voice was consistent with what I know of him. I just thought the story and the supporting cast was just a little, like the Paris Hilton amalgam. You know what I mean? That's easy.
It is easy. And yeah. For some reason, and I totally agree with that thought, and I would say the same thing. For some reason, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe because she was in the beginning and I didn't know who it was.
And then it was a reveal. Yeah,
it was a reveal later on.
Yeah, no, but also because you have a kinship with the character, so you kind of go with it.
One of the things is you've only read the first book of Fables, and I don't think Jack is defined by that point. Like later in one of the stories, is like a two story arc. He goes on and becomes like a movie mogul in Hollywood. And
I caught that reference in this book. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really fun arc.
He was John Nimble.
John Trick.
Oh yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
And basically, like he goes on and he creates a Lord of the Rings type. Trilogy that makes more money than any movies in history.
Nice.
But it's all about Jack. It's like the Jack trilogy. Right. So it's about him, but nobody knows who he is, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was for you to begin with, but having been a person who really likes Fables, I think this is really a consistent book, and if you're reading Fables and liking it, you could do worse than to buy this book.
Oh yeah, which I would have a hard time arguing.
Yeah.
That at all. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just coming at it from a third party, you know, to step in. Those are my observations. But it totally makes sense. Although knowing that we both read some of the same books this week, I was surprised that you picked it, though.
You know what? My full disclosure bit here.
I didn't read any books.
No, I had a really hard time picking this week because I read five books, and every single one of them in some way could have been my best book.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, like, I don't think I've had a week where percentage-wise I batted so well.
It was funny because this week for me as well, I mean, I had a light week as well, and you know how some weeks there's a heavy week and they're all awesome, or there's a heavy week and they all suck, or there's a light week and they all suck. Like, last week was a light week, like Connor was
all
light
bad,
week,
yeah.
And they're all, this was a heavy week, this was a light week that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, each book was better than the next, so, yeah. You know, it was really good.
Moving on to that then, so I guess I think I know what your pick would have been.
Who?
Ron.
Oh, me? We're not in the same room this show, so folks, so we've gotten used to being in the same room, and now we're not. And so I'm looking around, and there's nobody here to point at me.
You know
so.
What? Don't pull the curtain back.
I would have had a tough time picking too.
Really?
Yeah, I probably, and I'm glad, I was kind of glad I didn't have the week, because I probably would have ended up, and again, I mean, Connor, I don't think you read this, but I know Josh did, but I probably would have ended up playing the emotional card and picking Strangers in Paradise number 87.
You could have told me I could have come in the middle of the show.
But I would have had to just reprint my last review.
And that is why I didn't pick it.
Yeah, I understand. It totally makes sense. I totally understand. But and we don't really need to go over the story. I mean, it's just continuing the wrapping up the Strangers in Paradise story. With this is the fourth to last issue.
I actually have a question.
Okay.
This is going to be rough for people who don't read it, I guess. But I'm going to be politic a little bit, because this is kind of a thing you might read in trades. Were those bombshells that were dropped at the end of it? Big friggin' secrets were revealed in this book.
Big revelations.
Did we not know about Casey before this?
No, we did not.
Okay, that's what I...
It completely blew me away. Well, because let me get to what I was saying. So basically, the last issue, one of the main characters, David, passed away. And this issue is the fallout of that, them doing the funeral arrangements and then getting the reading of his will and finding out where he's a large amount of wealth and where that all goes. And it was kind of him kind of And what happened was that he wrote individual letters to each of the four remaining characters who he had connections with, who he had relationships with. And through those letters, big secrets and shocking revelations were revealed.
Yeah, and from the grave, he takes everybody to task and is like, own up to it.
Yeah, and totally honest, totally blunt, totally and honestly, totally in character. It was not surprising that he would do that. I mean, it was great. And it wasn't so much the secrets, but it was the tone and the manner and the talking about it. I'm just to give you the picture. I'm on the train coming out of the city going home, and I'm reading my comics, and I'm on the window seat, and there's some woman next to me eating oranges, and it was a packed rush hour train, and it was just miserable. I'd had a long day, and it was you know, whatever.
And so, he recoils at fruit.
So I'm I just hate when people bring food with them. Like, don't you know, don't bring food next to me, okay? But anyway, So I'm reading.
I agree with him. Come on, Josh. In the subway, no food next to you.
Anyway, so neither here nor there. So
it wasn't the subway. It was a commuter train.
So this was the first book I read. Was it the first book I read this week? It might have been the second. No, I read Daredevil first, which we'll get to in a second. Then I read this book. So I'm reading this book, and like maybe three quarters of the way, and I totally shouldn't be telling this story, but like three quarters of the way, the woman next to me puts her hand on my shoulder and goes, "Are you okay?"
And oh my God.
And I look and I'm like, yeah, why? And she's like, oh, you look upset. And I look at the window to it's night, and so I can see my reflection. And I must have. And the thing was, I was really tired. When I'm tired, I yawn and my eyes tear.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit of a Mike, I know it's a bit of a Mike Romo excuse. I know. But I must have had two distinct or like several distinct traces of tear rolls that, you know, and I was just like, oh no, I'm fine, you know, and I was just like, it just ripped my heart out again. It's just like, I'm not going to be able to take these next three issues. I know it. I'm not going to be able to do it. Like, I know I can't read this book in public.
This, you know? One, I actually read it on the train too, on the way home, oddly enough. There were more than one where I was like, oh, like, when I say that, I mean, like, it emotionally affected me in a way that things don't usually.
Yeah, it was it was great. So whatever, I want to move on because I'm getting.
Why is he stopping with 91?
It's just he picked.
That's when it's
over. That bothers me from an OCD standpoint.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure, and I can look into this. I'm not sure if he's adding in the total number of issues in previous volumes before that.
Uh huh.
So that might balance it out, Connor. I'll look into that for you.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did you notice there were like some of the printing in this was like not good?
Well, because what he did was you mean the prose pages?
No, well, so he reprinted some of the old frames,
right?
But he shrank them down, and
that didn't work very well. Yeah,
no, it's all pixely and awful.
And here's the one thing: the only time you'll ever hear me criticize anything Terry Moore does is that it just kills me that he uses Comic Sans for these prose pages as the font. It just kills me. It's the worst font in the world. Like, I'm sorry. Okay, anyway.
Are we working Augie on? Is that what? We're doing?
No, I'm serious. And then the first and last page were straight pencils. You know, and the thing, and you could they weren't like color adjusted the way they should have been, like black and white balanced. But,
yeah,
but whatever.
Moving on.
What did you read, Connor?
Ex Machina number 26.
Woo!
It was you know what's weird about this book is that it's very solid. And it's
in a bad way.
No, it's never bad, but it's never so good that you just need to talk about it. You know what
I
mean?
Has it been pick of the weeks? I picked the very first one, I think.
It was early on when we were dealing with it, and we were like, oh my God, you know. But now that I think that we've all gotten, we all read it, and we all love it. I mean, honestly,
no, it's a great book. It's just
never talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
It's a book not you even don't... amongst ourselves.
I love it. It's in my top five. I mean, it was the third book I read this week.
It's a fantastic book. It's just that it's one of those books where you don't really need to talk about it because it's like, all right, it was really good again.
Yeah, it's just so consistent in that way.
I will say though, you know, it's 6 years on. I still get weirded out by the 9/11 stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about it was that this sort of brought you back to the beginning of the book, and I remembered what it was.
That shocked
that
everybody. Yeah.
Right, the very end of the first book, basically, you learn that he'd stopped the one plane from going into the towers, the one tower, and like I thought that was so ballsy, and it still is.
Yeah,
but he's dealing with it in a way that has such a reverence for New York, and what I'm learning reading this is like, and I know this because we've talked to him and we've read it in other places, but Vaughn's really got like a hard on for New York. He loves the city. And this book, to me, feels like a little bit of a love letter to the city the more that I live here and read it.
Well, you'll as Connor and I will both attest, you'll find that that's fairly common with people who live here.
Sure.
But he's got the means to express that love in such a unique and original way that I just am jealous of. You know?
I love the whole monologue about the rebuilding downtown. And I found myself internally, cheering because, when you live here and you see the debacle that is the rebuilding of downtown, it makes you angry.
I felt as if he was saying what a lot of us want to say. You know what I mean?
He is.
Yeah. So, I mean, which was cool.
And this is actually something that came up on the site this week that we were talking about, whether this is a voice for Vaughn's opinions or not. And it's hard to say. But it is a voice for a relevant and real opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Not necessarily Vaughn's, but a opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. And he does that because he will have two characters who are neither are wrong. And he will give them opposing viewpoints and let them argue those out in the book. And he does it a lot. It's one of the things I like about this book.
I wonder how provincial this book is, because does anybody else outside of here really get upset about the fact that they're screwing up downtown Manhattan? You know what I mean?
No,
like that was, for me, a big part of this issue, and I wonder if anybody else cares. Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about this issue was the very last panel.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a little cheesy.
Oh,
drawn.
The Capra close-up, or...?
It wasn't the dialogue, and it was the curled hands. It just looked kind of like.
I was actually going to say one thing that we never really talk about is, I mean, I Tony Harris has just blown me away with this entire series, especially the first few pages.
You've been looking at some of his older work.
Yeah, I've been reading his just Starman stuff, which is good, but I think this blows his old stuff away.
He's really he's evolved.
It's ridiculously good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, I love this book. I don't think it's just weird that it doesn't ever feel the need to be talked about.
Yeah.
So,
not for a bad reason.
No, it's just like Powers or sometimes or other books like that where.
So
anyway,
but this was a good issue. This made me think of a lot of things. I thought, we'll be able to talk about it this time, and we never get a chance to. So I'm glad.
Yeah, no, it was good. And what's interesting is that we're almost coming on almost halfway through the podcast, and we haven't even mentioned Marvel or DC proper yet.
Not a one. By the way, also, just if I don't know perfectly, but if you were thinking about trying this book, this one's not a horrible one to sort of give a test on.
Total jump on point. Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So it's Ex Machina 26. If you've ever been thinking about it, read the one. If you like it, go back, get the trades and stuff.
Well, really,
like that.
Do they explain his powers in this?
But they didn't really in the main book for a while.
You can glean it from this issue, I think.
Yeah,
because they refer to it directly and stuff like that. I think it is a good jumping on point, and conveniently after the 25th issue,
Say that despite the cheesiness of the last panel, when the big event happens at the end of the book, I was like, ooh, that's bad.
It was a good
choice. I really like the two cops talking to each other.
Let's move on.
That's good.
Moving on.
So so to break the non-Marvel DC talk, I don't think we can ignore Daredevil number 93. Which
be quite difficult to.
Which, if this book was done by a lesser creative team, we'd probably be screaming and throwing it across the room.
What is it about Ed Brubaker that he can do something that seems on the surface to be so cliched, yet we all go, works for me.
And I don't even want to draw the line between Ed Brubaker, and Michael Lark. I mean, the creative team as a whole. I mean, I think it was a total joint effort to pull this issue off. And
he managed the cosmic reboot without making it feel like a cosmic reboot.
Exactly. In a single issue, which was amazing. Yeah,
he did all sorts of things that I would say were completely out of character, and he made me believe it.
Oh, totally.
Matt Murdock is going to go in and spring the Kingpin.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
That's crazy. That goes against okay, I buy it.
I thought some of the pages in this issue were amazing, the art, and I just thought this. And just for those people who might not be reading Daredevil, might not be aware of it. Essentially, there's been this years long story arc of Daredevil being publicly unmasked and then thrown in prison and then having to break out and all this kind of stuff. And it just all came to an end. It started with Bendis, and now it's over. And
he'd lost his job. His friends were
Foggy
dead.
Was dead.
And it was like there was one point where, like, towards the end of the book, where like each page another like plot line just got tied up nicely, and it was like, okay, great, moving on to the next one. Okay, great, moving on to the next one.
I realized I'm not used to it when plot lines actually tie up nicely. It's so unusual to me. I'm like, oh my god, it's over. Yeah.
What else was weird was he was not dressed up as Daredevil for the final three pages of the book.
I noticed that near the end, and at the end I thought, before I got to the very end, I was like, is he still Daredevil?
Yeah.
Is he not going to do that anymore? Is this just going to be the Matt Murdock book from now on?
It was great. But
I'd be okay with that.
But what was I think kind of interesting was we got an email from Christopher from Stillwater, Oklahoma. And usually we do the emails later on in the show, but Christopher had a relevant question where he was saying that he's been
as opposed to most of them.
We love you.
Anyway, so Christopher from Stillwater, Oklahoma, and he's been fascinated by Daredevil as a character, but has never had time enough to buy the book. But he's at his breaking point, and he wants to start reading Daredevil, his first Marvel book ever.
Wow.
He wants to know where should he jump in on some books.
Right now.
Next issue.
Right next issue.
Issue Daredevil 94.
94 in a month from now, hopefully. Probably, right? If you want, you could buy 93 to see the previous 5 years get wrapped up. but totally just jump on at issue 94, and you're totally in – it's a perfect jumping on point.
Mm-hmm.
Genius. I love it. So –
These pages are so I love the way that Michael Lark puts frames together.
I think he's my favorite artist.
They're so dense but not crowded.
I really want one of these pages.
I really want Foggy to keep the mustache.
No, he shaved it at the end, though. I know, it was good. It was a good – what was great – I loved Foggy's coworker in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't an Office reference, but it was referential. You know what I mean? And maybe it wasn't referential to the show The Office, but to the concept of working in an office and that annoying...
Guy in the office.
That character is... what's his name from The Office?
Yeah, it's Ed Helms' character.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah. You know, have another coffee? Guess we're going to start calling you Java Joe. Please
don't. Okay, look at the very next
whatever,
panel.
Whatever, Java Joe.
Look at the very next panel where Foggy rubs his head.
Yeah.
And the frustration in his face and the whole thing.
You kill me now.
That is an artist.
Yep. Yeah.
To be able to do those kind of subtle things in a comic.
Oh, yeah, totally. Oof. And that mustache is just killer.
I do believe if somebody called you Java Joe, you have license to hit them with the coffee mug in the face.
Oh, I would punch them, yeah. So, Daredevil, awesome, awesome, awesome. So,
well, that was also the big thing that they've added a third partner to their law firm, which is a huge thing.
A lot of inappropriate jokes. I guess when you're handicapped, you can make the jokes.
Yeah, but you know what? Ed Brubaker, not handicapped. So how does that work?
I don't know.
I don't think we should boycott him.
No, what are you, crazy?
I know. He's the guy doing it.
I know. And the Daredevil Mila stuff, the romance stuff was great, and dealing with Karen, and just like it was – I mean it hit on every cylinder. It really – honestly, this wrapped up going all the way back to Kevin Smith's arc.
It really did.
He wrapped up fucking 99, 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 – he wrapped up 8 years of continuity in
93
one issue.
93 issues.
In one issue. What the fuck?
And it didn't suck.
Brilliant. This might be the best book of 2007, the best single issue.
And it wasn't even the pick of the week.
I know.
But look at all the street cred you got by picking Fables.
I really liked Fables. I stand by my pick,
damn
it. It was
fun. Kidding. That was a joke.
It wasn't Fables. It was Jack of Fables.
Right, okay.
I don't even know the title.
So real quickly, the only other book that I'm sliding in quickly, just I want to acknowledge because I haven't talked about it the entire series, was this week the last issue of Annihilation came out, issue 6. And in the same vein as Daredevil, wrapped up this entire Annihilation event that has been happening, honestly, in the back of the room that nobody's really noticed. And it's quietly been really, really good if you're into science fiction. It's been really, really good. And
is Nova in this one?
Yeah, Nova kicks ass in this one. Actually, Nova's now a badass. Nova is like any sort of this kind of stripped away any sort of the kind of hapless teenager insecurity of Nova, and now he's like the man. Now he's got the experience, and he saved the universe. Basically, he helped to save the universe. He didn't do it alone. A team did it.
But, Ron, if you could marry Nova or Cyclops,
I'd probably have more fun with Nova. I'll be honest. I don't want to marry any of them. I just want to be their friends. Anyway,
all right.
But what was really cool was that basically in the beginning, Galactus kicks ass. Galactus and Silver Surfer get involved, and it's just huge cosmic fighting and battles, and it was just – I love the series. It was awesome, so I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Who's doing that book?
Giffen wrote it, and the art was by Andrea DeVito, which I don't know if that's a man or a woman.
Andrea?
It could be Andrea DeVito. But it was just Corey Pettit on the letters. He's great. But it was really, really good. And it wrapped it up. And it wrapped it up in a way that it felt wrapped up. You got closure, but it also left a little cliffhanger for, basically the main villain was a nihilist. And, you know, it left the door open for him to come back, which is fine, you know, because that's what comics do. And not in an unbelievable kind of way. And now it's like, now I really want to know what happens to Nova. Thank God they're doing a series. So,
and it'll be around for 6 to 8 months. So
yeah, exactly. So I get some enjoyment out of it.
Let's start the Nova pool.
All right. So Ron, you picked up Jack of Fables.
Yes.
An extra book.
Yes.
Did you pick up anything else extra this week?
Not that came out this week, but I picked up things that had previously come out. I picked up, I don't want to talk really about it, but I picked up Flight, volume number 2. And nobody told me it was like freaking 3 inches thick. but I picked that up. But I also picked up Wonder Lost, which was a oversized book by C.B. Sabluski and a bunch of different artists, which are a bunch of small different vignettes about autobiographical teen romance stories.
Romance is one word for it.
And it came out last week. It came out last week, and actually because of my comic book store debacles last week, which I won't get into, I didn't get it. So I picked it up this week, and it was great. I loved it. It was so much
fun. I almost bought that. But the reason I ask is because this was a small week for all of us. I think I had five books.
You took a risk. You took a risk, didn't you?
And I solicited advice on the website for what I should pick up that I wouldn't normally buy. And lots of people suggested Annihilation number 6, which, let's be honest, left the last issue of a miniseries. Not likely. I did pick up two books, actually none of the books, three books, none of which came out this week. So I didn't actually do what anybody said to do.
Bought the trade.
I bought Justice Society Liberty Files, which I've read part of, and it's very good.
Cool.
But I'll talk about that, I guess, when I finish it. But I bought Detective Chimp.
Nice.
Which was me going, you should totally try that. And I couldn't believe you did.
Yeah.
Well, you like Dr. Fate.
I like Dr. Fate. Josh talked me into it. It's got a monkey in it.
It's written by Bill Willingham.
Yeah, and it actually was not that bad. I will say it was fun. It was a fun read.
Will you buy the next one?
Oh, it's a one issue.
Oh,
really?
Thing, yeah.
Will you buy the next one?
No, there's no next one.
Okay, just own up to it.
I also picked up issues 1 and 2 of the Immortal Iron Fist, Ed Brubaker again. Which...
Oh, but I didn't think you were going to buy that.
I got him to.
Oh, nice.
He really convinced me there was no logical reason not to be buying the Immortal Iron Fist, and I have to agree.
Awesome.
And,
I'm so glad.
Good call.
I liked them both. I didn't love them, but I liked them. I can see how I'll probably get into it.
Cool.
I love the art, but I like Iron Fist and I like Power Man. I always did. I don't know why. I liked them as sort of the people that would show up every now and then in the Avengers.
I could see
Spider-Man.
You liking them. Yeah, I mean, they connect. I think they connect with you in the same way that Batman connects with you.
Yeah, like I always liked when they'd show up in one of the Marvel books I've been reading. So
I don't like when Cloak and Dagger show up.
Oh, I love Cloak and Dagger. You can always put Cloak and Dagger in a book.
But so I don't really know much about the characters, so we'll see. I mean, I like it. They're good. I'm glad I bought them.
Cool.
And, Josh, you picked up an extra book?
I did. I picked up the Green Lantern book from last week, issue 16, but I haven't had time to read it. So, but
you fail on podcasting.
You are bad at podcasting. But you know what? I've been hearing, because I got annoyed with it and I dropped it because it wasn't good.
Did you drop your tattoo also?
It won't come off.
I've scrubbed its bloody scab now.
Like Ryan O'Reilly now.
So I'm gonna. Oof! If you get that, then we're friends with you.
You win.
I'm looking forward to it. I know it's the last part of a huge arc, but I'd like.
This is the thing. Josh buys Green Lantern, which is part 3 of 3 of storyline.
You should have bought Annihilation,
and
Connor.
part 1 and 2 are sitting there on the shelf, and I'm like, why don't you just get all three of the parts of the storyline?
Because he didn't want to spend another $6.
Just pick them up. There's a whole. You can read the entire storyline.
I don't need to read that one. I'll read the next one. I'll see where this one started and see if I like it. It's a taster. Although I'm looking at the cover right now, and I hate that friggin' thing coming off his chest.
They're all like,
yeah, I don't like that. That's stupid. A new device. It's just a stupid.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah,
but get beyond that.
Well, yeah. So read it and then come back, and then I'm pretty sure you'll go back and get the other issues because this has been a good arc. So set the money aside now. Yeah. So if you wanted to get some comics that you haven't read before, you can go to comichole.com. Comichole.com is your best solution for discounted comics and trades online. They've got Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, and they're all 40% off. You can go to the site. You can pre-order the books. You can.
There's no passion in your voice anymore. Where's the love?
I'm tired. So go head over there. They've got trade paperbacks and hardcovers, 30-50% off.
They're 40% off. Are you a liar?
40% off on new issues. I don't know. So there's lots of percentages that
you're
are being taken off. So
I'm crazy.
Go to comichole.com, comichole.com. Tell them myfanboy.com sent you. All right, let's get to the mail.
Woo!
Our first email comes from the Dude Abides from Miami, who is a good friend of the show. His friend Maria has a big crush on Christian Bale, and she says that he could beat up Hugh Jackman. I think she's right, but I don't have a crush on either of them, really. What do you guys think? Make mine eye fanboy.
I think you should get a crush on Christian Bale as well.
I think Christian Bale totally destroys Hugh Jackman because Christian Bale is crazy.
I'm very fond of Hugh Jackman, but he's a big wuss.
When Hugh Jackman's not playing Wolverine,
he does Broadway shows.
He's a giant Broadway dancer.
I remember, hello, my baby.
Hello, my dog.
I remember when X-Men number one was coming out, and I was talking to Gordon, the intern, and I said, oh, and this guy Hugh Jackman's playing Wolverine. And Gordon's like, where have I heard that name before? And then he runs over to a pile of papers and pulls out a playbill from a play in London of Guys and Dolls. No, it wasn't Guys and Dolls. What's the fucking Western play?
Oklahoma.
That's the one. And it was a picture of Hugh Jackman and like doing the cowboy dance where like the boot is like 45 degrees from the ground, you know?
Well, the thing is, Hugh Jackman could kill any one of the three of us. I'm just saying, Christian Bale is insane.
And let's
therefore, insane usually beats insane.
And let's note that Wolverine never wins any fights in the movies.
Right.
Insane always beats show tunes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Totally.
Every time. Christian Bale's a scary... He did The Machinist before Batman, where he weighed like 112
pounds. Yeah.
And he bulked up to... I mean, like, to see him in Batman Begins, he's gigantic.
Did you see American Psycho?
I did a long time ago.
Oh, so good. So played the crazy great. It was awesome.
Because
he is crazy.
He's totally crazy. Yeah. I mean, if you don't know and haven't gone through the things, like, he decided to speak in an American accent permanently during Batman. Like, he did all his press in it. Yeah. And that's not weird. That's way weirder than Sacha Baron Cohen doing it in Borat.
Yeah.
Way weirder.
Let's move on.
Thank you, dude, for asking the tough questions. Connor, you want to take the next one?
Yes. John writes in, says he enjoys the show. Thank you, John. He's seen it mentioned in the site, and he himself has broached the subject. There are obvious strengths and weaknesses to every creator, the dialogue of a Kevin Smith or a Mark Millar, or the pacing or of a Bendis, or the action of a Grant Morrison. His question is, what do we think of the idea of a team effort writing books? Much like the artist can do a breakdown, and one does the fill-ins, another does the inks. Why can't a writer do a plot and one do a scene and one do a dialogue and, you know, basically team write a book? So he wants to know what we think of a team effort for books.
Well,
it's appropriate that you should bring that up. The pick of the week was actually a team book.
We're seeing it more and more.
But the thing is, it's not unusual.
Iron Fist was Fraction and Brubaker.
That was the other I was going to make.
Look at 52.
The Iron Fist is actually, to me, I think, the best example that I can think of right now of it working really well.
You know, I have the all-time best example when you're done.
Which is?
When you're done.
Because Ed Brubaker will write things. Sometimes they're pretty clinical. And Matt Fraction's stuff is kind of out there and wacky. And if you read Iron Fist, they both round off those edges of each other, and they actually complement each other really well, it seems like, in that book.
It was a little wacky than I would have liked, but it worked.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't...
So what's your
Iron Fist was a little too goofy.
Wow.
The all-time best for me would be the Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis Justice League, where Giffen just did the plots. He didn't do any dialogue. He plotted the book out. He did the breakdowns for the art. It was almost the old Marvel style, and then J.M. DeMatteis came in to the dialogue.
Yep.
And that's all they did for 60 issues. One did the plots, one did the dialogue, and that was a great run.
And now we argue over who invented Bwahaha.
Right. So, I mean, it's not really unheard of. This has happened a lot.
The footnote that's B-W-A-H-A-H-A-H-A, and Giffen says DeMatteis did it, DeMatteis said Giffen did it. So it's not like they're trying to take credit for it. They're giving the other guy credit for it. So I find that very interesting.
I'll tell you, a guy who really has, like, started his career on doing it was Jeff Johns.
Yes.
Yeah. With Goyer. Yeah.
He says he really likes it. Yeah. It didn't mean that I don't think he should just finish off Richard Donner's stuff and get it out.
What happened to that book?
Yeah. Well, I keep every couple of weeks I call Connor. I'm like, did I miss an Action Comics? And he's like, no.
I was telling Connor, I was like, you know what? The next time somebody from Hollywood decides to do a book, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's over and over and over.
Speak of your dollar.
I'll wait for the trade.
Damon Lindelof. All right.
Moving on.
Heinberg.
Let's move on to the next email. Pat from Chicago asks, listening to some of our old podcasts, he heard talk of a Montoya comic and a Spider-Woman comic by Bendis and Maliev. Did these ever come out, or are they slated to still?
No and yes.
Well, I imagine there's probably going to be a Montoya book coming out of 52. Right?
Montoya will probably be the question book, which wasn't Rucka talking about doing that in San Diego?
Yeah, and it will last 12 to 13 issues.
Right.
And Spider-Woman is...
That's a joke, by the way.
Supposedly supposed to be out this year.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me we'll too. See. And his other question is, they want to let us know that his little 11-year-old brother-in-law has gotten into comics, and he got into comics, you know, with Infinite Crisis and its Civil War and Annihilation. He's gotten in pretty deep. It's pretty cool to have him to talk about. But he has a question that he wants to pass along to us. Who would win in a fight, Winter Soldier or Jason Todd?
Another one!
Connor?
Oh, totally Winter Soldier.
Yeah, totally.
That was a total misdirection question, wasn't it?
It was. He was going with like the emotional with the 11-year-old and the kid getting into comics.
And drops the hammer.
Yeah,
you know who he has to talk about with comics? He has an 11-year-old and us.
Yeah.
And
Jason Todd's a punk. Winter Soldier's a dude.
Winter Soldier, please. it would kill him, yeah.
Okay, and our last email comes from Scott from Marlton, New Jersey. Josh, you want to take this, sir?
I blow these. I'm a relatively new comic reader. Just started reading in April for the first time in about 15 years since he was a kid. He was fortunate enough to start at the beginning of 52 in Civil War. Good time to start. His pull list grew exponentially from there, and at one point he was getting nearly all the major DC and Marvel titles.
Ouch.
And here comes the fallout from that. Civil War has grown increasingly more and more frustrating as the weeks have gone by. I've dropped nearly all the Marvel titles and lost interest in their storylines, basically been regurgitating the same old tired story over and over and over, and now he's mainly a DC guy. So with Civil War wrapping up hopefully soon, what Marvel titles should he start picking up again to get back into there? So what do we think?
Honestly, right now... I would say because I don't know, because with all the Avengers, much like Fables, now there's Mighty Avengers, New Avengers, Avengers the Initiative. You know what I mean? Like it used to be pick up the Avengers, Fantastic Four, Uncanny X-Men, Amazing Spider-Man. Like you had the core books, but now I don't know what the fallout.
Daredevil.
Well,
Daredevil.
No, but he wants them to pulse of the Marvel Universe.
Well, that's what does that mean, though.
What I would recommend is start picking up Hulk. No, I'm serious, because the next big story arc and the pulse of the Marvel Universe.
Right, but
is
if he doesn't, he got burned by the story arc. It sounds like he doesn't want to be back in another story.
He wants to keep his finger on the pulse, though.
That can mean all sorts of things. Yeah. I mean, to me, Daredevil to me is the book that has been consistently good through all of the crap that's happened in Marvel for the last 6 years.
Right, but Daredevil doesn't represent the pulse of the Marvel Universe.
Why not?
If you read Daredevil, you would have no idea about what else was going on in it.
That'd be good for him, though.
You're interpreting that. He's saying he wants.
If he grew frustrated by Civil War and dropped every Marvel book because of it, I don't think I'd throw him back into Hulk.
He specifically said to keep my finger on the pulse of the Marvel Universe.
And I would say Daredevil, Captain America, Iron Fist, Mighty Avengers, New Avengers.
Those are not the pulse.
I agree exactly with Connor.
No, I agree with you guys from a quality standpoint, but I just
But who says what the pulse is?
Right. Well, there you go. Well, Scott, why don't you write back in and tell us whether you want to know what's generally going on in the universe or if you want good books.
He just wants some good Marvel books.
Yeah, well, possibly. I'm just saying, but the next big event is the Hulk thing,
he doesn't like the event.
We'll see. He said pulse. I'm just interpreting it that way. That was a good damn answer.
The pulse got canceled.
All right.
Oh.
Point, Josh. All right, so if you have an email, if you have a question you want to email us, I always do that. You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. So let's move on to the voicemail. The first one speaks for itself.
Hey, this is Sanchez from Queen again. Oh, fuck, a train is coming, and I can't even leave a goddamn message. I'll call you back.
You should call back.
It's Sanchez again. I haven't called in a while, but whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to say that asking Connor if he's disappointed by something is like asking if the sky is blue. He's such a negative Nancy. Later.
Connor is the John C. Dvorak of comics.
I don't even know what that means. But look, life is disappointing.
Ifanboy.com/blog.
Hey, I liked books this week. I liked Iron Fist. I liked Ex Machina. I liked Detective Chimp. I liked everything this week.
You have high standards.
I do.
Yeah.
I just get disappointed when they aren't met.
Yeah.
But I will take issue with the fact that I dislike everything.
Yeah.
I called you a Nancy too.
Well, that's fighting words, but I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Aw. All right. So our next voicemail asks a very good question.
Hey, fellas, this is Sean in Charlotte. I got a question for you. I just read the return from the Civil War series where Mar-Vell comes back, and it feels like they are raping our past to to come up with sucky storylines for today, and it brought me to this question. Is there anything worse than what has just happened, where they trade in their past for current storyline? I can't think of anything more heinous than what has just happened. Another question, are you coming to Charlotte for the HeroCon? Thanks. And talk to guessing.
Is there anything worse than that? Yes.
Well, it's just...
and it has to do with the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. That is so evil.
Yeah. But specifically to comics, is there anything worse? Yes. It's called Chuck Austin on Uncanny X-Men. It's Scott Lobdell on Uncanny X-Men.
Now who's being the negative Nancy?
It's called The X-Men from 1993 to last 2 weeks ago.
That's funny.
I'm a bitter old X-Men fan.
It's also called Rwanda. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, the term of comics. I didn't go global.
He said the whole world.
Yeah. Nothing beats Cartoon Network. That damn Enignot.
R4, anyone? Okay.
So, Heroes Con. Are we going?
Possibly. We're leaning that way.
We're very close leaning going to going.
We might go is what we're saying.
So if you live in the Charlotte area or you attend HeroesCon and you want iFanboy there, let us know. Write to contact@iFanboy.com and let us know that you want us to go.
And let us know there's some good places to have barbecue in the area.
Exactly. But
and if you have a couch, we need a place for Josh to stay.
Ouch.
So we would like to go.
But where will we? I'm drunk. Where will we definitely be going?
Within the next month, we do know where we're going to be. We're going to be in New York for the New York Comic Con, which is the last weekend of February, February 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And then the following weekend, we are going to be in San Francisco for WonderCon on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Why are we doing that?
I don't know. It's going to be a very long week and a half.
My birthday is that week.
And so tired.
It's like it isn't even happening.
And we might collectively get fired from our day jobs. But it's worth it because it's comics, and it'll be Josh's birthday, and we'll be very happy about that. All right, so yeah, so you can catch us in New York, catch us in San Francisco.
Luckily, no one at our jobs cares about this.
Yeah, exactly.
A what cast? Listen, I don't care. Just get more paper.
Bring the mail, bitch.
Catch us in New York. catch us in New York. Catch us in San Francisco. Let us know if you want us to come to Charlotte. So that's where we're at. Our next voicemail is apparently a hot issue that I wasn't even aware about.
Hey, guys. It's Craig from Chicago. Love the podcast. Anyway, I'm calling because I have a beef with you guys, and it has nothing to do with the old lady and her missing machine. Regardless, I polished off half of my stack last night and very gleefully got to Teen Titans 43 and said, this is it. There's no way the fanboys could ignore the introduction of the Titans East as a Deathstroke-led villain teen of teenagers. After 52, after 1 year later, it's been dismal, and this is the most coherent book that DC has done with a concrete plot and some really great art, especially with the introductions of Teen Titans East Evil Tower. Then this morning, I find out that you picked the Fable spinoff, which was seriously the least interesting thing I saw on the shelf yesterday. Now, I've been getting into Fables primarily because of your recommendations. I read it to fall asleep at the end of the day. Now, maybe I'm a little biased because Tony Daniel was signing at my comic book store yesterday, but I think you guys drove right by the Sears Tower and ended up at the dump. So let me know what your impressions are. Plus, I'm curious to see what your impressions are as to the future of the Outsiders and their continuing viability as a book. So let me know your comments. Great show, guys. Talk soon.
So I didn't even know Titans was still being published.
Read your silly book.
And what, like all of a sudden in the past 48 hours, like Chris from Long Island called in a couple of times. We got a bunch of emails. People were talking on the boards about Teen Titans because apparently also Geoff Johns is leaving the book.
Well, as the only person here who reads it,
you do read it.
It's awesome. It's this book and Robin have been easily the two best 1 year later DC books that are not Batman centric. Well, these are Batman centric.
So
what am I saying?
Robin is fairly Batman centric.
Right. What I mean is the Death Star Batman. What I'm saying is we shouldn't do these at midnight. Teen Titans has been really, really good. In fact, I picked it as a pick of the week a few months ago, if I recall correctly. Yeah, I did.
I didn't do that show.
Was I out that week?
I was.
No. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Look it up. Look in the archives. All right. But he's correct. Teen Titans was excellent. I thought this issue was not great, but this it was good, It's just not as good as the last couple. Jeff Johns is leaving. It's been a big brouhaha.
The other question is the book doomed because Jeff Johns is leaving?
No, because Adam Beechin's coming in and he writes Robin, and Robin is awesome.
Okay, cool. So it's safe to still reading it.
I'm actually more excited for Adam Beechin coming in than Jeff Johns.
Remember that'd be a good time to start.
Do you remember? Do you remember the Titans relaunch a few years ago when Phil Jimenez was on it? I think. And,
yes.
And I was back in college. I think. Jeez, I don't know. But I remember I started picking it up because I wanted to like the Titans, but then I dropped.
This is actually a really, really, really good book. The team is great. It's Robin and Wonder Girl, and it's a true Teen Titans.
Cool.
Where Beechin comes from, too, is he did the animated Justice League comic, I think.
Yeah, no, he's really, really good.
Which means he can do the team dynamic stuff, supposedly.
So his other question was, what's the future of the Outsiders, Connor?
I don't know. I didn't realize it was in question. It's not great. It's not bad. It's very average.
Yeah.
It's Judd Winnick. No, I mean, he writes it. It's Nightwing and some people.
Jason Todd going to turn out to be gay?
That joke is beneath you. That joke is beneath you.
I know it. It really. It's what it's been
beneath us.
I'm tired.
No, Teen Titans is great. We don't talk about it because normally it comes out when I don't have a pick. I mean, I'm the only one who buys it, so the only way it's going to talk about it is if I get that week. I never.
But DC's got.
That's why we have a website.
DC's got to look at our publishing schedule and put it out the week that you have. Yeah, that's what it says.
They should bend the publishing schedule to
our whims.
It so really works out in that way, too. This week was one of those weeks where I was like, my pick was actually something you guys don't read. It never works out that way, though.
I'm going to bounce back for a second and say that the reason I was incoherent before was because I would say Detective and Batman would be the best current reboot of DC books, except they didn't, their regular writers are not on it regularly.
Right.
If you take the books that are written by the regular team every month, Teen Titans and Robin are the two best.
Yeah. Cool.
So there's your love.
All right.
And now you must experience our power in the next call.
I'm in awe.
Hey, iFanboy. This is Jimsky calling from the frozen Midwest. Listen, I wanted to warn you about something. The other day on the message boards, I had mentioned we were talking about Frank Cho leaving the Mighty Avengers, and I said it would take so long for the book to actually come out that by the time it did wrap up his run, I could have a child or something, because it's very far off. People took this to mean that my wife was pregnant and began to congratulate me. I told her, no, she's not pregnant, ha ha ha. But then they sort of began to act like she was anyway, and it would have been very funny, except a couple of days ago, or actually last night, my wife came to me and informed me that she is in fact pregnant. So I really thought I should tell you that the iFanboy.com message boards may have magical powers. And I don't know if you guys feel like you're able to handle that kind of responsibility, or if you, want to take them down before some other life is willed into existence, perhaps something less benevolent than my cute little baby will be. But it seemed like the wise thing to do to kind of let you guys know about that. So good luck. Remember, great responsibility, great power, et cetera, et cetera.
And we are like unto a god.
Wow. Let's first
congratulations.
Congratulations. Way to go, Jimsky.
Your boys can do it.
All right.
Slipping past the goalie.
Is that our first iFanboy baby?
Yeah, I think so. You should name it Ron.
Yes.
Connor's a good name. You need
put little sideburns on it.
Make him angry.
Ron Connor Joshski. Because his last name's Ski, right?
Ends in Ski.
Yeah.
but no, congratulations. Seriously, that's
now. Can
great.
Someone please allude to one of? Can someone go to the forums and just write some sort of rumor about me, Josh or Connor, winning the lotto? That's what's gonna happen next. Or,
and if you, I'm gonna just kill that joke. if you don't know what that's all about, maybe you should be checking out the new forums we've got.
Yeah.
A couple of people have been on the site, and I don't think that they knew that they were there. So if you've got stuff that you want to put up that we're not putting up on the main iFanboy site, you can go start your own threads there and talk. And that's a whole other – it's a little different than the regular website, but it's fun in a different way. So that's
so go to iFanboy.com, and up in the top navigation, you can click on the word forums, or you can go to revision3.com/forums, is it?
Something. Go to revision3.com, go to the discussion forums, and pick iFanboy. Yeah,
exactly. Or iFanboy.
It's a longer URL.
Exactly. So, and if you have any questions that you want to call in with a voicemail, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. And we'll take your voicemails for both the this here podcast as well as our video podcast, which comes out weekly on Wednesdays. In fact, this past week, we answered a listener email on that show.
So. I'm not sure if we did.
I don't believe we did.
It's in debate. So, all right.
We ended it by saying, so it's up for debate.
So, and also, if you aren't aware of the fact that we have a video podcast, you can head over to revision3.com/ifanboy or go to ifanboy.com and click on video podcast or go to iTunes and search ifanboy and find our video there. And we got, it's a weekly show that comes out. And we're proud of it. So
Somewhat.
Blinked out on that one.
Yeah, I did. I really did. That's tiring.
This is like the week where we start strong and fade over and over.
Let's wrap this bitch up. We got to sleep.
Please do.
So go to ifanboy.com, check out the discussion there, and go to the forums and create your own discussion and see what we're talking about.
And as we always like to mention, there we got a map over on frapper.com at frapper.com/ifanboy. And if you want to be represented with the ifanboy nation of close to 1,000 people, you can be.
Listen, if you are involved with Frapper in any way, we used to really talk about your map. We had a whole segment on it.
No, not so much.
And then you went and changed everything, and we don't even. Now it's just, it gets thrown at the end.
We recognize we could email you, but we'd prefer it you email us.
And like good comic book fans, instead of just not doing it anymore,
we're going to bitch about it.
We're gonna keep telling you to do it, even though we don't like it as much anymore.
FRAPPR.com/ifanboy.
And then if you wanted to use some of the more traditional ways of being connected upon the web, you go to myspace.com/ifanboy and be our friend, or you go to comicspace.com/ifanboy and be our friend, and we all have our own MySpace accounts up there. You can be that friend too.
I feel like Comic Space is on fire this week. I don't know why.
Comic Space is.
I get a lot of emails.
It's growing rapidly.
Yeah, good for them.
People really wanted that, apparently.
So
comic fans are nothing if not insular little communities. So. Yes.
So if you also can head over to dig.com. And they've got a podcasting section, and it's in beta, so you need to be a member to sign up. But if you go into the, if you become a member, log in, you can dig your favorite podcasts, and hopefully including ours. And
each
each episode individually, as well as the podcast in general.
Josh is yawning.
And we're like in striking distance of passing the Suicide Girls video podcast.
That's
insane.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to do.
Me neither.
I
giggle every time I see, and I see, oh, we're right by Suicide Girls.
So. I'm gonna take down that Jamie Oliver.
We passed him already. He's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
That's right. Suck it.
Yeah, suck it, Jamie Oliver. Also, you can go to iTunes and you can leave a review of this podcast or the video podcast, as well as you can go to Podcast Alley and vote for us or leave a review. And most importantly, just tell your friends. If you like the show and you like the video, tell your friends, tell your comic book store. You guys help spread the word more than we do, so we appreciate
that. If you got that friend who used to read comics and doesn't anymore, we'll get him.
Yeah, so check this out.
If you like the show, you want to donate some money, you can go to the donation button on the main page, or you can go to ifanboy.com/donations, and you can click on the box. And
Connor no longer has access to those passwords. So,
I'm sorry.
Money is safe. Well,
I thought I wouldn't do it again.
I've got a bunch of light brights I need to put up on parkways by here, so I got to get going.
That's not funny at all.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Whoa. I was doing an impersonation.
Some sort of stoner thing.
Some stoner kids find that kind of thing funny.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? We watched it on the news all day yesterday.
The Aqua Teen Hunger Force thing.
Were you not watching the news where he said he didn't know anything about the
story? I see. We're in character. You see?
Wow, we suck right now. I mean, it's not like we haven't been doing this for a long time at this point. And we're rank amateurs.
All right, so that's it. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
And we'll catch you next week.